Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Let's update you on the medical front now. And joining us is Dr. Benisa Shaw, immediate care doctor at Northwestern Medicine. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Shaw, welcome to WGN Radio. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Good. I'm glad you're able to join us today. So a couple of questions that we have about different stories in the news. One of them was about breast cancer. I don't know if you saw the same story I was looking at.
Yes, I did see that. There's a lot of controversy going on this week.
Why is that? First, tell us what the research is and then what the controversy is about.
So this past week, the recommendations have changed and sort of been finalized that all women starting at the age of 40 should be getting breast cancer screening done every other year. And that is a good recommendation. However, it is confusing for patients because even the medical field has had varying opinions on this. And so over the last decade or so, there's been thought, do we start at 40? Do we start at 50? Do we start earlier? And what sort of testing should be done? So, you know, it is the important takeaways, in a sense, are that women should, you know, get regular physicals and at least begin their testing no later than the age of 40.
Boy.
And
that just sounds young to me, doesn't it? Do it at 20 if that's going to ensure a longer and healthier life. But I wonder about the practicality of that, one, and the age, number two.
Yeah, and the practicality is tougher. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, there's already people that have difficulty accessing healthcare, getting physical appointments in. But it is also, we are seeing an increase in breast cancer pretty much every year. The incidence is increasing. And this is a good starting point where it's also that at minimum, this is what insurance companies will be covering for all women. And that is the recommendation put forth. But certainly it depends on your family history. It depends on numerous other factors. And so at least having regular physical exams every year, which should be starting for the whole population, you can have a personalized approach with your own doctor. But it is something that, you know, I think that this recommendation will also put forth some more data, research, questions, or a lot of questions about what you just said that, I do agree with it starting at 40, though. I think that we are seeing so many more starting younger that, I didn't necessarily agree with starting at 50, but, there's definitely circumstances where we're seeing a lot more sad cases.
Dr. Benisa Shaw over at Northwestern Medicine, and she was just talking to us a little bit about a new guidance that says women should get breast cancer screening at the age of 40. Is that a mammogram, doctor, that you're talking about then?
Yes, that is a general screening routine mammogram, and there are other tests that can be ordered if deemed necessary or if at least something is found on those mammograms, but there are other testing such as ultrasounds, MRIs, and those are becoming more common as well. However, that is something that this recommendation is widely controversial in that sense that why aren't those other tests being offered to everybody? And I think, you know, hopefully in the coming years, and especially put forth by this recommendation now, those changes will start to be implemented.
Well, that doesn't mean my insurance company is going to pay at the age of 40, 42, 44 for a mammogram, are they?
Excuse me?
Well, I believe you said every 2 years, starting at the age of 40, are insurance companies going to honor that? Are they going to pay for those tests?
They are going to pay for the mammograms, and that is what the recommendations are put forth for that reason, that this is what they should be covering for all people. However, there is definitely a lot of people, a lot of physicians even, that believe that, you know, the mammograms should be every year, and the insurance companies are sort of...
And you support this, right?
I do.
Yeah, you described it as controversial. Maybe people feel like it's aggressive, but given the rising cancer rates, maybe a good idea.
I wholeheartedly support that, yes.
Two new COVID variants are out now called FLIRT. I presume that's pronounced flirt.
I presume as well.
Yeah. Well, how is this different? What's new on this front?
Well, so what's interesting is that, you know, we are currently at a little bit of a low in the numbers across the entire country for COVID-19 infections. There are two variants that are out, and, you know, what is at least a little bit reassuring about those is that they are versions of an Omicron virus. So we sort of know how they will, we have an idea of what they will be doing, how they will be mutating. We have not seen, there's not enough data out yet to ascertain what symptoms, but again, if it's proving the way we've seen variants across the last couple of years, the numbers potentially can increase, but it should still be relatively milder symptoms if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
The issues are also coming forth that a lot of people are lapsing on vaccinations, and so the immunity is a little bit less right now. So hopefully this will sort of boost more people to get, you know, receiving their boosters.
Encourage more people to do that. Yeah, good luck to you on that. I think that people have gotten very lax about it because we've all either gotten immunized or we've attained natural immunity from having had COVID or both. Doctor, we were just talking a moment ago about breast cancer. Then we were talking a little bit about COVID-19. Did you say that if I am up to speed on my vaccinations, that these new variants, if I do get this new version of COVID, it won't be as bad?
Yes, that is true. You know, it is a variant, so there is a little bit less protection with the vaccine, but it's at least some protection. And that also means that oftentimes the symptoms that you get when you get the COVID-19 infection are much milder than those that are not vaccinated at all. And so the other thing is that the other flip side of this is that, you know, the vaccine still prevents against those serious and severe cases and symptoms and side effects that we see with the COVID-19 infection. So I would still urge everybody to, this hasn't really changed course. We've been, you know, this is sort of becoming integrated in our day-to-day, and we know how to deal with this now. We've kind of, you know, had these variants and had these milder but persistent symptoms through the last year or so.
Is it possible somebody could still get a good old-fashioned COVID-19?
Yeah, it is still possible. And these tests and the test kits are still identifying the, you know, the good old-fashioned COVID-19 along with these variants.
It's funny how much time we spent talking about and thinking about infection rates and total number of cases and vaccination rates and all of those things. That was a daily number in the newspaper. It was a daily scroll on CNN. It was there no matter what you were watching, you saw those. Every newscast here, we did that. And now we're like, I don't know, I'm not going to get the updated vaccine.
I know. And it's a good thing that our numbers are down. And then in general, people are faring well when they even do get the disease, but that has also been because of the immunity that, you know, the individual person has as well as everyone around them. So, I mean, you know, we hope that it doesn't get to anywhere near that level. There's no evidence at this point that it will.
Yeah, well, point being, it didn't happen by accident, y'all. There was a concerted effort, and we sort of licked that thing because enough people made the effort. Talk to me about this Alzheimer's story just in the couple of minutes we have left.
Yeah, so there has been new information about Alzheimer's disease, and that there is a and questions about this genetic component of it. So there is a gene that we have known for quite some time that has an increased risk of inherited Alzheimer's disease, or now what we've sort of identified is that it's not just a risk factor, but it's almost probable that if this gene, the two copies of this gene exist, that the development of the biochemical and behavioral changes in the brain that lead to Alzheimer's disease will likely occur, and often at an earlier age. So this is good news in general. I mean, it does sound very scary, but the numbers that, you know, shows that one out of every six cases of Alzheimer's disease are attributed to this gene. But I think that this is helpful to understand because there's so much more research and understanding that we're getting with Alzheimer's disease, and we are going to have more data about who is sort of at risk and what to do about it, and hopefully help treatment earlier.
Yeah. It's not just one gene. It's a combination of two genes, did you say? And it's one out of six people who have that combination of genes develop Alzheimer's, correct?
Correct, yeah. Wow. So there is this gene that has, that, you know, we knew it was at risk. It was considered a risk factor. Now, if that person has two of those genes, so in semi-dominance, effect, and you will likely develop Alzheimer's disease.
But knowing that doesn't necessarily mean that they have a cure for it, or that they can prevent it. At least not yet, huh?
At least not yet. And that's where, by knowing this, I think it's affecting other people too. You know, researchers were trying to figure out more of what's going on. This was a big breakthrough, and also by qualifying it as a not just a risk factor, but that it's going to increase the risk of Alzheimer's disease is beneficial. But yes, there's still no cure for it, but symptoms are starting much earlier for those that carry this gene.
Yeah. Well, I guess you'd like to know, although you almost put your hands over your eyes and wish you didn't. Dr. Benisa Shaw is an immediate care doctor at Northwestern Medicine, joining us today for Dr. Copen. Benisa, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for your insight today. Very helpful.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a wonderful day.